Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and a very good morning to you. It is exactly 11:10 a.m., 10 past 11 on this beautiful Thursday morning, and it means that it's time for Judaism 101.9. I'm Rabbi Michael Katz, and it's wonderful to be in your company, wonderful to have you with us, and we hope that we can share some thoughts today about things coming up in the Jewish calendar, things that you need to know that you maybe have forgotten, things that you need some reminders about, and perhaps a couple of thoughts that we may not have heard before. Hopefully we can bring you all of that in the next 45 minutes or so on this episode of Judaism 101.9. We are coming towards the end of the month of Shvat. End of the month of Shvat, which, of course, we've spoken about, predominantly known for Chamisha'asar Bishvat, or otherwise tabled as Tu Bishvat, a time of rebirth, a time of renewal, a time of blossoming, of the end of winter and the advent towards the beginnings of spring. But in this coming week, we highlight, of course, the arrival of the brand new month of Adar. And the month of Adar has so much significance and such a powerful role that it plays in Judaism that we're going to spend some time today exploring some of the Adar themes, what Adar is actually all about, and why it's important that we really think about a kind of a behavioral change, something that we've got to think about in our daily life for the month of Adar, which begins in earnest on Tuesday and Wednesday, which is Rosh Chodesh. So, as we always do at the beginning of this show, we reflect back in Jewish history on the days of this week. So the 25th day of Shvat, which is today, is the yahrzeit of a famous rabbi called Rabbi Yisroel Lipkin. He was born in 1810, passed away in 1883. He was better known as Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. He was the founder of the Musar, the ethicist movement, and the ethics that he wanted people to think about and introduce to the daily study program, emphasized in many yeshivas around the world, in order to bring people kind of back down to earth and realize that while we may have a great grasp on God's Torah, on our Talmudic study and learning, it shouldn't lead to an arrogance. And the whole basis of this movement was really to bring people down to earth, to make us perhaps a little miserable when we were happy, but really it was about realizing who we are and what we are, rather than allowing any arrogance to creep into our daily practice. It also happens to be that on the 26th of Shvat, which is tomorrow, that we have the yahrzeit, the passing of the Taz. Now, the Taz, who passed away in 1667, his name was Rabbi David ben Shmuel Halevi, lived from 1586 to 1667. He was a primary halachic authority named for his work Turei Zahav, which means rose of gold. Row as in rows, you know, lines, R-O-W-S, rows of gold, which was a commentary on Rabbi Yosef Karo's Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law. So his yahrzeit tomorrow, 26th of Shvat. When we go to Sunday, which is the 28th of Shvat, it was on this day in 134 before the Common Era that Antiochus V abandoned his siege of Jerusalem and his plans for the city's destruction. This day was observed as a holiday in Hashmonaim's times, in the times of the Hasmoneans, and it is mentioned in Megillat Tainit. So here we have a date of the abandonment of the siege of Jerusalem. It is fascinating to think about how many times the nations of the world lined up in order to try and destroy Jerusalem. Yes, some more successful than others, but always ended up to be a bad idea, because we have to ask the question of, where are they now? Where is Antiochus? Where are his descendants? Where are the people of those type and ilk? They certainly didn't survive. It wasn't the greatest idea at all. 29th of Shvat marks something much more current, much more recent. In 2003, it was on the morning of February the 1st, 2003, that the Columbia space shuttle, returning from its mission, was destroyed upon re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere. It was 16 minutes before its scheduled landing. Its crew members perished, including famous Ilan Ramon, a combat pilot of the Israeli Air Force, who was the first Israeli astronaut. And prior to his departing to space on the space shuttle Columbia, where his mission included the manning of a multi-spectral camera for recording a desert Eroso, he arranged to take kosher food, as well as a Kiddush cup, a small Sefer Torah, as well as a dollar from the Lubavitcher Rebbe of righteous memory. Yes, what a tragedy. And the Yahrzeit then for Ilan Ramon, 29th of Shvat, which is coming up on Monday. The 30th of Shvat is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh has, in fact, two days of Rosh Chodesh. There is 30th and the first, 30th of Shvat and the first of Adar. And the first Rosh Chodesh actually commemorates in 1313, before the Common Era, the Plague of Darkness. So this was the ninth plague to strike the Egyptians. This thick darkness that blanketed the land so that no man saw his fellow, no man could move from his place. It actually commenced on the first of Adar, 6 weeks before the Exodus. It's also the date to the passing of Ibn Ezra in 1164, the highly regarded biblical commentator. Rabbi Avraham ben Meir Ibn Ezra passed away on the first of Adar in 4924. It is also the date of the Yahrzeit of the Shach. The Shach, around about 1663. Now, it's interesting that we mentioned the Taz before, because we have the commentaries on Rabbi Yosef Karo's Code of Jewish Law, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach and the Taz. Adar the first is the Yahrzeit of the great halachic authority, Rabbi Shabtai HaKohen Katz. And yes, it is a family descendant, we're a family descendant of the Shach. My father was named Rabbi Shabtai HaKohen Katz himself, and so that name carried through. I have a son, grandson, family members who are called Shabtai or Shapsi Katz, and he was, so the original was the author of the Siftei Kohen, known as the Shach, commentary on Code of Jewish Law. It was an acronym for the name of his work, and it serves today as a primary source of halacha, of Jewish law. It was also the date of Yecheskel foretelling of Egypt's downfall in 421 before the Common Era. It was following the year following the Holy Temple's destruction. Hashem told Yecheskel, Ezekiel, to take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, foretelling the downfall of Egypt at the hands of the Babylonians. The Tosfos Yom Tov was appointed the rabbi of Krakow in 1644 on the first of Adar. The descendants of Rabbi Yosef Lipman Heller we celebrated this day as a day of thanksgiving for his liberation and restoration after his imprisonment in Vienna in 1629. Now, it is fascinating to know that the first of Adar and the 30th of Shvat are Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh, which obviously comes up once a month when we take a look outside and we see that there is a brand new moon, or no moon at all, actual visible to the eye, because, of course, it is completely clouded by, covered by the reflection or the sun's shining on the earth and the earth's impact upon the moon. Here we have the incredible thing that the moon actually has an impact on us. And when we come to a Rosh Chodesh, it's a time of renewal, of a new lease on life, of a brand new attitude that we have to have. And we need to remember that Rosh Chodesh, which comes up this coming week on Tuesday and on Wednesday, is a significant time, and especially when it is coming to Rosh Chodesh Adar. So it is on this coming Shabbos that we bless the new month, Shabbat Mevarchim, the Shabbos of blessing of the new month of Adar.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. Rabbi Michael Katz here with you. It is Judaism 101.9, and it's great to be in your company on this beautiful Thursday morning. Looking forward to Shabbos, looking forward to Shabbat Mevarachim, and looking forward to the arrival of a brand new month. And yes, just to recap, refresh your memories, and get you back in the groove of why it is that we sometimes have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh and sometimes only one. How does that work? And why is it that this coming Rosh Chodesh, as we said, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, which is Tuesday, is actually the 30th of Shvat. The first day of Adar is actually on Wednesday, and we're going to be celebrating it all known as Rosh Chodesh Adar. So there's an impact on Adar on the last day of the month. How does this all work, and why is there sometimes 2 days Rosh Chodesh, sometimes one? Well, the calculation is fairly simple if you follow it, quite straightforward. You know, the Jewish calendar, of course, relies very heavily on the moon. That's where the word month comes from. Sometimes people are surprised at that. Month, moon, you get it? Same word. So a month, according to lunar calculations, a moon month is exactly 29 and almost a half a day, somewhere in the region of half a day. So 20, let's call it 29.5 days is a lunar month. So if you were to be able to pause, take a photograph of the moon at a certain phase and get it back to exactly that same phase and position in the sky, so to speak, a month later, the period of time in between would be 29.5, approximately 29.5 days. Now, in a calendar, it's impossible to have half a day taken care of, and so the Jewish calendar works in such a way whereby sometimes we count an extra day and sometimes we don't. So our Jewish calendar months are either 29 days or 30 days. And you get it then that if you actually take 2 months together, one of 29 days and one of 30 days, it adds up to 29.5 multiplied by 2. You're taking care of those two halves, which are allocated, kind of one subtracted from the one side and added to the next side, and therefore to get the 30 days. All very, very systematic, very straightforward, very reasonable. But of course, it leads to a couple of complications. One of the complications, of course, is that if we only go lunar, not only are we then probably lunatics, but we kind of neglect, or we will have our festivals all occurring in the wrong seasons. And as we know, God told us that the seasonal feature of the Chagim is important, particularly when it comes to Pesach. Pesach needs to be in the spring in Israel. Now, the only way you can keep it in the spring in Israel is that there needs to be some kind of an adjustment that is made in the calendar. And thus the advent of the concept of a leap year every so often, in fact, 7 times in 19 years, an extra month is intercalated into the calendar. Now, this year is not a leap year. This year is just 1 month of Adar, but in some years, and as I said, 7 times in 19 years, we have an extra month of Adar. The month of Adar is doubled, and then we have an Adar 1 and an Adar 2. In this year, we only have Adar, plain Adar. In some years, Adar 1, Adar 2, or Adar Aleph, Adar Bet. Now, the way that it works then is that there has to be a system of how the months are lined up according to the lengths of those months. It would stand to reason that a perfect alternation between 29 and 30 days will keep on giving us the right number of days, but there need to be a couple of tiebreakers in this whole deal, because it is important to actually adjust and have the Chagim, the festivals, falling out on certain days of the week as well. And that's only possible if you can manipulate a little bit from time to time the numbers of days in the months, or in one or two of the months, in order to get it all right. So let me read to you what it actually says here in the rules of full months and short months, just that we kind of have it from an instructive manual. It says, the months of Nisan, Sivan, Av, Tishrei, Shvat, and Adar 1 are always full months. So we've got Nisan, Sivan, Av, Tishrei, Shvat, and Adar 1 are always full months. In other words, a full month means that it has 30 days. So those 6 months will always have 30 days. The months of Iyar, Tammuz, Elul, Tevet, and Adar in an ordinary year, like this year, or Adar Bet in a leap year, are always short months, having 29 days. Okay, that's easy enough. So there are some months that always have 30, some months that always have 29. And then Cheshvan and Kislev are sometimes full months, such years are called full years, sometimes short months, and such years are called short years, and sometimes Cheshvan is short and Kislev is full. Such years are called regular sequence years, since the months follow a regular sequence throughout that year of alternate months, full and short, and so on throughout the year. So a fascinating little synopsis of the full and short months. A full month, of course, having 30 days, and a short month having 29 days. When the month is full, like this one of Shvat, remember we said that Shvat is one of those that always has 30 days, the 30th day will be Rosh Chodesh. It is Rosh Chodesh, although it is the 30th day, and it's almost as though we're saying that the new moon is coming in between the 30th and the 1st. There is a combination of these 2 days either side of that new moon for the 30th of the month and the 1st of the next month, as we go into the next month of Adar. Now, Nisan, Sivan, Av, Tishrei, and Shvat always have 1 day of Rosh Chodesh, based on what we've said before. Iyar, Tammuz, Elul, Cheshvan, Adar 1, and Adar Bet always have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. So we're going into Adar, the month of Adar. Kislev and Tevis sometimes have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, sometimes 1 day. That's if Cheshvan and Kislev are both full months, then both Kislev and Tevis have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. If both are short, then both have only 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. And if the first of these months is short and the other full, then Rosh Chodesh Kislev is only 1 day, and Rosh Chodesh Tevet is 2 days. So the Rosh Chodesh of the coming month is really dictated by the length of the preceding month. What do I mean is, as we have now, Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is on Tuesday and Wednesday, because Shvat, which ends as we go into Adar, has 30 days, so the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, and the first day of the next month is the second day of Rosh Chodesh for the month of Adar. And so it would go throughout the year, alternating as it does most of the time, in a pretty systematic kind of a fashion, with 2 days and 1 day of Rosh Chodesh according to the preceding month's length, whether it is 30 days or 29 days. So you got all of that. Quite interesting, therefore, to note that Rosh Chodesh, as it comes up with the month of Adar, for instance, has this kind of closing off of the previous month leading into the advent of the new month. However, it is always traditional, the custom of Jews worldwide, is that we call it Rosh Chodesh Adar. It is Rosh Chodesh Adar, even though the first day of it is actually the 30th of the day of Shvat, which means that there is an influence kind of leaking back into the month from Adar into the end of Shvat. And we can say even more so for the Shabbat of Mevarchim, the Shabbos on which we bless the new month, has the impact of that new month brought forward into the Shabbat that precedes it as well, which is actually this coming Shabbos. Why this is all significant is because when it comes to the month of Adar, there is a statement like no other in all of Jewish thinking, Jewish law, Jewish tradition. The statement that is made about Adar is Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. When the month of Adar comes in, we increase in joy. Simcha, joy, happiness, positivity, positive energy. That is brought in by this month of Adar. Now, is this something that we need to do? Is it something that we need to make a conscious effort to tap into? Or is it something that just happens because we happen to be going into that month? And probably the answer is a combination of both. We are going into a great positive energy time for Am Yisrael, for the Jewish people. And the month of Adar was always and is always, and we'll demonstrate with a few examples in a moment, a time of joy, of positive energy. It's regarded as a good month. It's a time when the positive disposition of the Jewish people was always at its best in this month of Adar, and therefore it is a time of simcha, of joy, of positive headspace, of positive things happening, of being energized to be happy, all kind of in the atmosphere of this month. But there is also something that is incumbent upon us to tap into that energy, to not sit back and just wait for it all to happen, but to actually make a concerted effort to be more positive, to be more energized with simcha. And that all starts happening on this Shabbos, Shabbos Mevarchim, and then going into the week in which we celebrate the Rosh Chodesh of Adar and the advent of a new month. So, since the Talmud tells us that when the month of Adar arrives, we increase in joy, it is a time when we are welcoming into our lives the energy of the miracles, great miracles. It was always a fortuitous month. But the month is also called by the name Adar, which is related to the word Adir. Ever thought about it? Adir. Adir in Hebrew denotes strength and power. Now, it's been often pointed out to us that the term Adir was used to refer to the Jewish people. And so therefore, what could be more appropriate than the month of when our fortunes are strong, than a name that actually pertains in a way to the Jewish people, to Am Yisrael, which means strong, powerful, and of course we're talking about in a spiritual sense, Adir. Adir, it's, I guess it's related in a way to the English word dear, Adir, but there is this attitude of strength, but at the same time affection that God chose for us, particularly in this time. Now, the month of Adar, as we mentioned in our introduction here to this segment, has also got the possibility to kind of be split in two. It's a kind of a twin month. Now, this says something about the month of Adar, and that is, I don't know how to phrase it nicely, but I guess it's that the month of Adar also knows how to share. It doesn't want all the accolades for itself. It is happy sometimes to be divided into two, to be spread over 60 days instead of over 29 or 30. It has this ability to give. And if we think about the main chag, the main festival that occurs, of course, in the month of Adar, which is Purim, has really as its most dominant feature the idea of unity, of togetherness, of caring, of sharing, of love for your fellow man, of making sure that others are taken care of, as well as you yourself, something very, very significant in that as well. It is also the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, passes away. And this was one of the mistakes that Haman and his ilk made in thinking that the month of Adar was going to be a sad month for the Jewish people because it's the month of the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. What they failed to take into account was that Moshe was actually born and passed away on his birthday. So at the same time that Zayin Adar, the 7th of Adar, commemorates, marks the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course the whole Jewish people were crestfallen when Moshe Rabbeinu left them on the 7th of Adar in that last year in the desert, grateful for the fact that he was born in the first place, thinking about that the birth into this world marked a birth into the next, especially for someone as righteous, the greatest leader of Moshe Rabbeinu as he was, that we think about this month of Adar as being something above and beyond, and significantly a time of positive energy, of simcha. Mishenichnas Adar, marbin besimcha.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
So we're going into this beautiful month of Adar, and you are here with Rabbi Michael Katz on Judaism 101.9, and we're unpacking the month of Adar, the Rosh Chodesh, which is coming up, the attitude and atmosphere of the month. It is fascinating that the month of Adar seems to always mark this positive energy. Now, we've got to know that the story of Purim, of course, is the dominant feature of the month, but we will still have time, hopefully next week and thereafter, to be able to talk more about Purim on Judaism 101.9 and all the things pertaining to it. But the huge weight that Purim carries in the Jewish calendar is because Purim is a story of anti-Semitism, which, of course, has reared its ugly head all over the world. Purim is the story of the triumph over an anti-Semitic plot to destroy all Jews everywhere. This was, it went beyond anything else that ever happened before and ever happened afterwards, that Haman had within his power the ability to destroy all Jews in the whole known world. And he picked the month of Adar as being the time when this would happen. And instead of it being the time of the Jewish downfall, it became the time of the Jews' greatest success. We've got to remember that it all depends, I guess, how we look at our the attacks on us, how we look at the atmosphere within the world. Do we allow it to get us down? Do we allow it to be its own prophecy fulfilled? Or do we think a little bit more about how God protects us, how Hashem turns these things around, and how eventually they become the story of our greatest success rather than our downfall, God forbid. And this is the story of Purim. The story of Purim, you know that the word Purim means lots, a lottery. Lots were drawn to see which day and which month, etc., this was all going to go down. And in fact, interpreted one way by the haters and the despisers and the murderers and the terrorists of those ages and throughout the ages. And then, of course, the truth that always comes to the fore. And we've got to remember that. We've got to believe in that. We've got to know that. And so the month of Adar has always had this positive turnaround atmosphere. Now, in 1940, on the 9th of Adar, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, of blessed memory, disembarked on the at the New York Harbor. He was fleeing Nazi Germany and the Holocaust of European Jewry, and he didn't merely seek refuge in America, but he turned things around. He laid the foundation for Chabad's revolution in Jewish engagement and life in the Western Hemisphere. And so the day is marked by Chabad's Hasidim around the world, the 9th of Adar, as a great day of celebration, marking the previous Rebbe's arrival and the beginning of this resurgence of Judaism, or the introduction of Judaism into American life and into life around the world. And of course, we know that just traveling today, wherever you go in the world, whether you're in Saigon or whether you're in Cape Town or you're somewhere in Alaska, there is a Chabad house there waiting to be of service, and all the vision of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, it is also interesting to note that this zodiac sign for Adar is Pisces, or Dagim in Hebrew. In Jewish tradition, fish are a sign of blessing and fruitfulness. Just as the fish live in water, the Jewish people thrive when immersed in the Torah, which is compared to life-giving water. So when we think about that, we can also think about the idea that the fish are not visible. You know, the fish in the sea, this symbol of fruitfulness, of multiplying, and of being dominant, and of course living in the Torah, living in the waters that sustain and give it life. Great significance for the muzzle of this month, the idea of dagim, or of fish. Be back with you to sum up right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and welcome back. Yes, we've been talking about the month of Adar that is about to dawn upon us, and the atmosphere that changes in the world with Mishenechmas Adar Marbim Besimcha, that it's a time of joy, time of positive energy. We think about the dominance of the festival of Purim. We think about the other highlights that we have mentioned of this month. And it's interesting to note that although we celebrate the miraculous events brought about the holiday of Purim in Adar, Haman, who was the one who spearheaded it all, actually was hanged in Nisan. Purim commemorates not Haman's death. We don't get up and celebrate the death of anybody, but rather the time when our ancestors rested after their miraculous salvation and victory in battle. It is also interesting to note that Adar was the last month that the Jewish people spent in Egypt before the Exodus, before we got out of Egypt. Our last month in exile was the month of Adar. So Adar's joy is so great in part because it serves as an opening to an even greater rejoicing, the miracles of Nisan and Pesach that follow thereafter. So it's kind of this opening up this aperture, this window onto the month of Nisan, the time of absolute geula, of redemption, which follows thereafter. So a great and incredible month that we are about to arrive at, that we're about to go into. Let's utilize it well. Remember, it's not only in the atmosphere around us, but there is also a tremendous amount that we can do. And what can we do? It's an opportune time to brush up on our positive energy. It's an opportune time to brush up on our smile. It's an opportune time to think about things in a positive light, to stop being bearers of doom and gloom, but rather spread the messages of simcha, of joy, of happiness. It's a time to engage a little bit more in our Torah, which is our life. Remember, we mentioned the fish, the idea of being surrounded by the waters of Torah, just like the fish in the sea. It's a time to think about doing more for our fellow men, being involved much more in the mitzvahs of tzedakah, of charity, of kindness, of chesed, of doing all of those things. And all of that not only ties into and buys into the atmosphere of the month, but it actually helps to create it. And is that not truly what we're all about? Not only being there to breathe in the air and lap up the energy, but to actually help to create that energy of simcha. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha. Let's go out there and be joyous, be happy. I want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbos up ahead, and a great arrival into the month of Adar, a time of joy, a time of happiness. Look forward to being back with you same time, same place next week on another exciting episode of Judaism 101.9.